Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church, on the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello talks with Ann Carey, author of Sisters in Crisis, about the recent meeting of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. During the second part of the show, Dan Burke talks about the dangers of New Age ideology with Father Mitch Pacwa. Register Radio is a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. This is Tom Price, and I'm very proud to say this is episode 100 of Register Radio. We're looking ahead to the next 100 and hoping to make it even better for you, all of our wonderful listeners. Today I'm joined by Jeanette DeMello, Executive Director of the Register. Hi, Jeanette.
It's good to be here.
And also with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register.
It's great to be with you.
Our first guest, Ann Carey, has written extensively about Catholic women religious for many years now, publishing articles on the subject in the National Catholic Register, also Our Sunday Visitor, Crisis, and Catholic World Report. Ann has received Catholic Press Association awards for news and feature writing and for investigative reporting. The second updated edition of her book, Sisters in Crisis, is now available from Ignatius Press. It discusses at length the ongoing controversy surrounding the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, LCWR, and that group's clashes with the Vatican. Most recently, she has written a news analysis titled LCWR 2013 Assembly, Little Evidence Yet for Any Reforms. That analysis is available right now at ncregister.com. It's all about the annual meeting of the LCWR that ended earlier this week. Jeanette?
Ann, you were on the show just a few weeks ago with Dan Burke. You were talking about your new book, Sisters in Crisis Revisited. But today you're here to talk to us about the recent Leadership Conference of Women Religious Assembly that was held just last week. I think it ended on August 19th. And you followed this last year, and you reported well for the Register about this event last year. But before we start talking about this particular assembly, I wanted you to give us the context of this meeting. The LCWR finds itself at a moment of tension with the Vatican, and I'd like for you, if you could, please describe what this tension is about. What is this conflict between church leadership and the LCWR?
Sure. Well, in April of 2012, last year, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith issued a doctrinal assessment of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious that had been started in 2008. And in that assessment, it identified several doctrinal and theological problems in the organization's meetings, the speakers, some of their programs that were not their annual meetings. They do offer training programs throughout the year for leadership for religious orders, and in some of their publications. And the mandate was to Archbishop Peter Sarton of Seattle as the apostolic delegate to oversee a reform of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious that was to be completed within 5 years of that particular mandate. So last year, of course, when they met in August, it had just been a few months since that particular mandate had been given. And Archbishop Sarton had invited himself to come to the LCWR assembly last year, which I covered for the Register. I was there. But he was told his presence would not be helpful. And there have been discussions for the last year between him and the two other apostolic delegates that were named to assist him, Bishop Leonard Blair of Toledo and Bishop Thomas Paprocki of Springfield. And they have met with the leadership of the conference several times over the past year. And so going into this year's assembly, Archbishop Sarton was invited, and he did attend. And there was some thought that some sort of decision would be made as to whether or not the LCWR would be open to these reforms, because thus far, there does not seem to be any progress whatsoever.
Right. We'll talk about that a little bit more in greater detail. Now, I realize you didn't attend the conference this year, the assembly this year, but you attended last year and you followed from afar this year. Do you see any differences between the two meetings, last year's meeting and this year's meeting? You did mention one, which Archbishop Sartain was there this time. But do you see any other differences between these two meetings in the atmosphere and what has emerged from it, et cetera?
From what I am reading, apparently the tone was more conciliatory toward him this year than it had been last year. The sisters, even in their official press release, said that they had very good discussions with the Archbishop. So I see that difference. Other than that, I don't see much difference. Last year, the speaker was cosmologist Barbara Marks Hubbard, who talked about a lot of the New Age philosophies that she holds that apparently have been embraced by many in the LCWR. And this year, of course, we had another cosmologist, but at least it was a Catholic sister this time, although I think that her talk probably was not probably doctrinally or theologically much better than last year. So that's the only change I see, is that the geniality seemed to be a little more present at this meeting.
And that cosmologist, that was Sister Elia Delio, and in our next segment with Father Mitch Pacowa, they are going to talk a little bit about what she presented during that time. And we have to bring up that one of the things that was a part of that doctrinal assessment was these assemblies and the speakers that they choose. And, you know, they even mentioned that some of the speakers would talk about moving beyond the church. Well, certainly Barbara Marks Hubbard had kind of introduced that sort of language. Sister Elia Delio's was not quite as bold as that, but there still were things that were problematic, which Father Mitch and Dan Burke will talk about after the segment. But tell us a little bit, that was one of the suggestions, I believe, that Archbishop Sartain made to the sisters. I think it emerged in some of the feedback that has come from the conference, that he suggested what could be done with these assemblies. Did you read about that?
I did read about that. I thought it was probably incompletely reported, I should put it that way. The way it was reported, it sounded to me as though he was saying, if you're going to have speakers like this, then you need to have another speaker to give the other side, the church's position on this. And I wondered if that was incorrectly reported, because to me that would be giving equal weight to the church's side versus this other sort of problematic argument. So I don't know if that was correctly reported. It's interesting to note that one of the things that the 2012 mandate required was for the Archbishop to approve all future LCWR plans and programs, including their General Assemblies, and including their speakers. And it just makes me think that he was not given the opportunity to do so. That's what leaves me. That and other things that I'm reading lead me to believe that there have been no reforms so far. For instance, another mandate was that the sisters remove their systems thinking handbook from publication, and that remains available for download on their website. There has been little to no movement in these conversations that have been held.
This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio, speaking with Ann Carey about the recent assembly of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. Now, Ann, you just spoke about a handbook that was requested to be removed from the website of the LCWR. It has not been removed yet. There seems to be some confusion that is being expressed by some of the women religious who attended this conference, that are saying, well, we're not sure, we still don't know the details. Archbishop Sartain hasn't given us the details of what needs to happen for this reform. But you seem to be saying that there are specific things that need to happen. What are the sisters asking for, really?
Well, I was confused by that report, too, because I have been in possession of a copy of the doctrinal assessment ever since it came out. It's available on the United States Bishops website, and so I printed out a copy. It's 8 pages. It gives some very specific example of doctrinal problems, and it gives 5 specific steps that the LCWR must take. and I can't see how anyone can be confused about that. The first is to revise the statutes to ensure greater clarity about the scope of the mission and the responsibilities of the conference, and then to review the plans and programs, including the General Assemblies and publications, to create new programs for member congregations for developing an ongoing formation that provides a deeper understanding of the church's doctrine, and then to review and offer guidance in the application of liturgical norms and texts. For instance, it says, for example, the Eucharist and the liturgy hours will have a place of priority in events and programs for LCWR. Now, I was not there. I have heard there was Eucharist every morning, as there was last year when I was there. There was no liturgy hours last year when I was there, and I don't know about this year since I was not there. And then the fifth thing that the Archbishop was to do was review the LCWR links with the organization's network and resource center for religious institutes. So I don't know whether they haven't actually gotten a copy of this mandate and read it, but because it seems very specific to me.
And has there been any information coming from Archbishop Sartain? I haven't heard any, but maybe you have. I'm just not sure.
I wish they were. I've asked for interviews with him and have been told that that is not possible during this process. So anything that is coming out about what he's saying is either hearsay or just bits and pieces here and there where he might, you know, say something very general.
Sure. And this process could last up to 5 years, if I understand correctly.
That was the mandate. However, I think some people are interpreting it as it doesn't have to begin for 5 years because things have been proceeding so slowly and there seems to be no progress. But indeed, that is not the case. And I think it was unusual for the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith to put a deadline on this, specifically because it didn't want it to drag out. And 5 years may seem like a long time to those of us in the United States, but the Vatican often thinks in terms of decades and centuries, so 5 years may not seem long to the Vatican. But no, it's to be concluded within 5 years, yes.
Okay. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio speaking with Ann Carey about the recent assembly of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. Now, Anne, the Leadership Conference of Women Religious includes about 1,400 women religious. The council says that they represent about 80% of the women religious throughout the country. About 800 attended this conference. And but these really are leadership. They represent many sisters. And you have said in the past that not all of them are in agreement. Can you give us an idea of what is going on within the LCWR?
Well, I have heard from a lot of sisters who are in orders whose superiors belong or whose leadership belong to the LCWR. And I think it's more correct to say that the members of the LCWR are leaders of about 80% of the women religious in this country. Mm-hmm. Being a leader doesn't necessarily mean you represent your people. We've seen that often in politics, internationally particularly. But what these sisters are telling me is they often have little voice in the election of their officers. It's not done democratically. It's done through delegates. And often those delegates are self-appointed people, and many of the sisters who cannot travel or can't leave their jobs are not eligible to be delegates simply because they can't do everything that's required of a delegate. But many of the sisters have told me they don't have a strong voice in the policies of their orders, and so they don't have a strong voice in influencing their leadership. So I think it's inaccurate to say that they represent 80% of the sisters.
Right. Well, Anne, I'm so thankful that you were able to be on the show with us again. I hope our listeners will check out your book, Sisters in Crisis Revisited. I thank you always for being willing to be here, and I hope that everyone will join me in praying for the sisters. This is a time of discernment for them. This is a time of examining where they should be, and we really do pray and hope that they will continue to work with Archbishop Sartain and really delve into this reform so that we can all benefit even more from the witness of women religious. So, Anne, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
When we return, our friend Father Mitch Packwell gives us the bird's eye lowdown on New Age ideology. Wow. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Johnette Bankovic talks about the National Catholic Register.
I recommend the National Catholic Register to all Catholics who want to discover what it means to live their faith in this our day and time. We get the clear, unbiased news of today because the National Catholic Register takes its cue from the mind and the heart of the Church. It really becomes a tool by which we are able to live that abundant life in Jesus Christ and to share that life with others. The National Catholic Register seeks to meet people where they are, seeks to meet people where they are in their walk of faith, where they are practically in their lives at the moment.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Father Mitch Packwell, certainly no stranger to these microphones. He is the host of EWTN Radio's Open Line Wednesday, also our flagship TV program, EWTN Live, and the insightful Threshold of Hope. Dan?
It's great to be with you. Father Mitch, it's great to have you on the show this morning, both as a theologian, but in particular as an expert on the New Age. We just heard Jeanette and Ann Carey talking about the latest meeting of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, continuing challenges there. Things don't seem to be getting any better. From my reading of the keynote speaker's background and her teachings and Barbara Marks Hubbard, of course, last year, there continues to be this New Age theme, deep confusion regarding the nature of God, the nature of man, what is true spirituality, prayer, how it is that we discern the will of God, the relationship that we should have with the Church. And what I would love to talk with you about this morning is, with your expertise about the Second Vatican Council and the documents there, Nostra Aetate, and kind of much of this history that's really led us to this point with the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, what I'd like to do on the show today is get to the root, if we can, and for you to give us some perspective of how is it that we ended up with this group of women who, you know, many started out with very sincere vocations to the Church, and many, of course, still in the leadership with that they represent, very much love and serve the Church. They've given their lives to the Church. How do we end up with such profound confusion?
One of the difficulties was the use of a line from our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, where he said, "Do you not know how to read the signs of the times?" And blessed John the 23rd used that as part of his introduction to the Vatican Council, that we need to read the signs of the times. Now, this is a great point that our Lord makes. We have to pay attention to what's going on around us. And we also should heed the Pope, because he was certainly dealing with a post-World War II society in which philosophy was headed towards such a focus on personal freedom, because for the secular, especially the existentialist philosophers after the war, everything was without meaning. Their earlier hopes were dashed by the war, and so all they saw was absolute freedom.
And the reason they were dashed by the war is because they had this idealistic view of society evolving and becoming this wonderful, utopian.
As a matter of fact, one of the realities was that the Nazi Party had used Darwin's book, The Descent of Man, not Origin of the Species, but where Darwin talks about certain groups like Africans being a species in between the ape and the human being. And, you know, that became part of their policy. Well, now our philosophy of evolution seems to be used by some of the most abject evil we had known up to that point, though it would be later on we'd find out how much even more evil the communists were. And see, and that's also part of this world. This world was one of the Cold War, in which nuclear annihilation had become possible because the Russians also had nuclear bombs and then hydrogen bombs. These were some of the signs that Blessed John the 23rd wanted us to look at and the council was concerned about. When we saw religious paying attention to the signs of the times, part of the religious mood of the late 1960s was influenced strongly by the English translations of Father Pierre Teilhard de Chardin.
Of which, just a brief note, Ilya Delia, who was the keynote speaker at the LCWR conference, very much leans on Desjardins in her philosophy and understanding of our faith.
And what the reason was that Teilhard de Chardin had died in 1955, on Easter Sunday, in fact. And he's buried in New York, Jesuit cemetery there. And Teilhard was a paleontologist trying to understand the history of the earth and the rocks and things. And besides being a paleontologist and anthropologist, physical anthropologist, he was involved in trying to study Peking man, a pre-hominid form from China. He was doing that kind of research, and as a priest, he wanted to unite science with the faith.
Which isn't in and of itself a problematic
thing. No. That, again, that was considered another one of the signs of the times. Now, the problem is, when you talk to paleontologists, they consider him not that good.
Marginal.
At that field. He didn't make major contributions. Matter of fact, he apparently had some role in a fakery known as Piltdown Man,
right,
in which they actually combined the bones of different species, planted them, claimed to discover them, and that he was part of it. He thought of it as a joke, but he got part of it. So, and that hurt his reputation. He was a young student in England at the time. And then he's also problematic in his theology, because he was never condemned or anything. He was a heretic, but there was a monitum
issued,
which
by,
is
yeah.
a warning
right.
issued on his writings by at the time of Pius the 12th, and the warning was that he does not have place for the doctrine of original sin within his thought.
Mm-hmm.
And he himself, the reason it was only monitum, he himself admitted he didn't deny original sin. But he also admits, I think in his book, Building the Earth, that he doesn't know how to fit it into his worldview, his vision. You know, I said, wait a minute, we don't want anything to do with that. That was bad science by Darwin. Nobody else really wants to take that except racists. So what they did is try to come up with a wider view of evolution. And Teilhard tried to provide that.
Now,
this is where the focus was on Christ as God incarnate being the what he called the omega point, that is, the goal of all creation, and that he is attracting all of creation to being renewed in Christ, the way a center of gravity attracts things to itself. And that's how he saw Christ. And this was very appealing in the 1960s. I want to say to Sister, I don't deny that Christ is the Lord of the cosmos, but pay attention to the signs of these times. This is not 1965 anymore. This is 2013.
I want to stand up and cheer, but let me break in and let everybody know this is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're with Father Mitch Pacwa and talking a bit about the root cause issues behind why so many in the Leadership Conference of Women Religious have gone off the rails, if you will, with respect to their theology, their understanding of Christ, our mission here on earth. Now, Father,
yeah.
I think you made a key clarification. I want to just see if I get it right, okay. Boil it down. There's Desjardins was a paleontologist.
Desjardins would be from the garden.
There you
Somebody
go.
Desjardins is the name of this man.
Right.
That's where his family is from.
Right. So he saw and interpreted the world through the lens of paleontology and some of the philosophy behind that.
And also, again, like with most of us wearing glasses, he had two lenses, not a monocle. His other lens was Scripture. But he especially focused on passages in Colossians 1 and John chapter 1 and Ephesians 1, where it speaks about certain aspects of Christ in relationship to the cosmos.
So he begins with the cosmos. He begins with creation to understand and interpret Christ. And I do see that in Sister Ilya's perspective. To me, it's very foreign. I want to begin with the Creator and how he's revealed himself to us.
Right.
The theological framework, for me, creates the lens through which you interpret and understand the world, not the opposite.
Right. To discuss what role Christ has in the cosmos, as we understand the cosmos in a far more profound way than was possible at the time of Teilhard de Chardin. Teilhard, they had not discovered DNA. They didn't have the Hubble telescope. I mean, science is always moving forward, always progressing, and we want to keep up with it. Someone like Dr. Rizzi is doing theology and physics together with what's happening right now. And that's where I think we should move.
And in a way that's not distorting our essential understanding of Christ, of sin,
no,
our redemption.
No. So, more of reason.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good.
Don't forget you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen to or download the show. Hey, thanks for joining us this time on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.